Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omi. I am your empress, the one you need. I am also your advisor and your advocate. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to another segment in the Care to Read Room. We are venturing up on our new topic for this month, and our new topic for this month is Nature's Remedies. Dealing with nature's remedies, we're covering mind, body, soul, and spirit. We're covering the hard knocks of life today, the school of hard knocks. And that's why we're talking about the various different schools, because we go through schools in life and we graduate, and sometimes we have to repeat and go back and learn the message. So the hard knocks of life topic is all about the things that we go through and some of the cumbersome things that we have to prevail through in order to get to be the best. And today's message is going to be on talking about how we all have disabilities, but we do not have to be handicapped. So therefore, we can prevail through our disabilities. And I've brought a special guest on today who has done an excellent job in prevailing in spite of the inadequacies of her hearing loss. We have this young lady that comes from Washington, D.C., all the way from Washington, D.C., Michelle Banks. She is an outstanding actor and a noted poet. And you might have seen her on some of the television shows, well-read, as well as also outspoken, even though she works with someone that does sign language for her. It's quite unusual, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you might add, that someone can do poetry that does not speak. But we can speak in more ways than just with our tongues. And we're going to have her come on in a minute to talk a little bit about her experience and the hard knocks of life and how she had to prevail through the problem of people not accepting her for being a whole person. I know about these things because as an advocate, which is what I always claim I am, I advocate for families who have disabilities, and I advocate for those children who don't have a voice to speak for themselves. And her counterpart has joined her also, and his name is Richard Graham. Richard Graham comes all the way from a small town in Pennsylvania called Morrisville, Pennsylvania. He is also an artist and a poet, and the two of them will be telling you a little bit about their upcoming event that will be coming up in November the 11th. And their organization, you can find out more information about their event on their website. And their organization is the Live Deaf Poetry, Live Deaf Poetry, and they're called Insight and Sound Poetry. And I'm going to have them on in just a minute. But we're going to do some house cleaning, and we're going to take a station identification and ask that you will hold your seats. Lock that number in, little G, 646-478-0270, and keep it right there. I'm going to go over and say hello to my guests. I don't want to keep them waiting, so I'll say hello to them. Caller number one, good evening.
Hello. Hi. How are you?
I'm just fine. And who do I have the pleasure of speaking to? Hello.
Hello. Hi. This is Michelle Banks.
Hello,
I'm
Michelle.
One of the artists.
How are you? Okay. How are you? Hold on one minute here. And I wanted to greet you and thank you for coming and joining us on the show. And being a part of the show, I certainly appreciate it, and we look forward to hearing from you. Caller number
okay.
2-301-536, hello.
Yes, Ms. Garth, it's Richard.
Hi, Richard, how are you this evening?
I'm very well.
That's great. But we're going to do just a little house cleaning, and we're going to bring you and Michelle on to tell us a little bit more about your poetry and your event that's coming up. We certainly want you to give out all the information on that so we can help you market that. So hold tight for 1 second. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. We're going to bring this drum roll on to give us a drum roll to bring you guys in. So if you just hold tight there, we use these drums to bring in our favorite guests. And sometimes I use two. Hurry up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're bringing in the drum roll. We have a guest in the house tonight. And you know how we fill up our porch. Speak to us on the live deaf porch.
Uh-uh.
Welcome once again, family. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. We're talking about the hard knocks of life and how some of us can be knocked out, but knocked down. We can get up if we can look up. And some of us who have talent and gifts are not using all of our skills. And tonight I have a young lady in the house who has experienced all sorts of things in her life and in traveling to be a poet. And in spite of the inability to be a person that could hear, she has decided to have her person by her side that will also interpret for her as she does deaf poetry. So Michelle Banks we have with us tonight. I'm going to have Richard give us a little background knowledge about their journey and their episodes and what they've been doing out there in the industry, and tell us a little bit about their music or their poetry or spoken word and this new event that's coming up. Tell us a little bit more about that, Richard. And I'm going to bring you right on, Richard. You have the atmosphere.
Okay. Oh, well, thank you for having us on this evening, Sherelle. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It's a great opportunity to be able to tell some folks out there about what we're doing. Michelle and I are currently producing a live event, or more than an event, an experience. We are featuring both hearing and deaf artists working together through poetry, music, and dance. Our show takes place. Yes. The music part is
the dance part.
The dance part?
Yes.
Oh, we have
That's
two very talented. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I was saying that's a little unique, the dance part of it.
Yes and no. I've seen quite a few productions with Michelle now that had dancers that were deaf and were very, very good and very, very entertaining dancers.
Now, which bucket are you trying to address? Are you trying to sensitize the general population to accepting deaf people more in the society of entertainment, or are you strictly focusing in on the deaf and special populations?
I would say neither. My and Michelle's goal really is to bring hearing and deaf people together to enjoy an evening, an experience, a show, to where everyone can be together and open up lines of communication that they may not have tried before, to just experience something new and possibly a little bit different than what they may have experienced before.
Great. I think that's a great idea. I really do, Richard. Can you tell me some of the challenges that you have had or you foresee that you'll have in the near future trying to get the general population to win them over?
I think one of the ones we have is what we've decided to name the show. We wanted to keep it true to its actual identity, that we have both hearing and deaf artists performing. That's how we kind of came up with the insight and sound part of it. Because not only will people be able to hear the words that of our artists, but they'll also be able to see them through American Sign Language. And then Michelle came up with the idea of how we spell live deaf poetry, where we have live and then deaf, where it's D-E, parenthesis, I think it is, a little half moon shaped thing. A, parenthesis, F, and then poetry. And now we spell it that way. It was Michelle's idea to spell it that way. So that way you can either leave the A in or take it out. And it was just a little unique touch on how to present it, I believe.
I think that's a great concept. Because when you create something that has real meaning to it, you can take ownership of it. I thought that was excellent when I saw that. And another thing that is also interesting is that Michelle has been on television. She's an actress, and she's well-known. Tell me some of the avenues and what Michelle had to go through in order to break her way into showbiz.
Well, actually, I think Michelle would be better able to tell you that than what I would. She's on with an interpreter right now, so the interpreter will actually be able to speak for her.
Okay. Okay, Michelle, are you out there? The question was, what were some of the avenues that you had to break through in order to get into television and the media? And what type of discrimination did you see when you, you know, initially started to work in the media and television?
Okay. Yeah, well, the different avenues that I had to go through and break through working in the entertainment industry, let's see. I definitely had to approach it by being confident and to show up who I am, to have goals that are set, and also to have persistence about what my goals were going to be and how I was going to achieve them. And, of course, we also faced many communication barriers as well, but I did not let those communication barriers to impede me from continuing my dream and aspirations as an actress. So I do it just by being aggressive in the entertainment industry, and I usually have an interpreter with me, and I just go forth and meet the people that I need to meet, and networking is really important. So I just make sure to get out there to see different people, to see different plays and performances, and to make sure people know who I am and what I do, what I represent. And I also get my picture, my resume, headshots out, and, you know, I'm an actress. I have to let them know that I'm here and I'm here to work. So I do a one-woman show, and it's called Reflection of a Black Deaf Woman. And if there's no work out there, then I don't just sit back and wait idly by the phone for something to happen to me. I make sure that I go out, and I'm aggressive and persistent, and I make sure I do my job to show people I'm still out here, and people recognize that, and they say, oh, okay, they know who I am, and then the word just starts to spread about me. And that's definitely been my approach to show my work through getting out there and also my travels with the one-woman show. People just learn more things about me, and they're able to find me.
Well, you know, I really admire your tenacity and your courage. I think if more people have that type of attitude, that they would really go far. I think that there is some avenues that you have not yet ventured into, which I'd like to share with you. I'm an international advocate who actually fights for families who are with the military, and the organization that works with the military is called STOMP. And that organization primarily works with families who have children with disability. So we work with an array of disability, from deaf, blind, to autism, you name it. And I have actually ran resource and referral centers that had families of children who had, you know, maybe there were two or three children blind in the family, and they had a whole host of conditions and problems they had to deal with. So we were always giving motivational speeches. But what I want to say to you is that the other avenue you may have not ventured out into, there is a whole host of young, new disabled people, and I won't say handicapped because we were taught not to use the word handicapped, but disabled, that they're going across the country, and they are becoming nationalists, and they are speaking out on the causes of handicapped people. And there is a whole organization that works with those handicapped people or the disabled people to become spokespeople and advocates, so that they actually travel from country to country and they are becoming voices for those who cannot speak. And Michelle, I will get you some phone numbers a little bit later off the show of some people that you might want to make contact with. And I know that they will be very glad to meet you, to invite you to go abroad to be a spokesperson, and hopefully to be able to be a voice for the voice.
That sounds great. That sounds really great.
I hope that will give you another avenue so you can keep your light shining and you won't lose that zeal, because when you have something to do and there's many tasks to do it, you don't tend to give up as fast. But some people think that spoken word dies out, and it's just a fad. I am a spoken word artist. Actually, I started up being a gospel singer, and when I came back home from the States, I decided that I would write, and I ended up becoming a poet instead of a writer. So I really have a love for the arts of music and have been in the area of singing for many, many years. But because I'm a teacher, I think there's something that just fell in my way, and it prohibits me from going forward with my spoken word. But I'd like to thank you so much, Michelle. And one other question I have for you, I'd like to know, what is your biggest fear when you go out there on the stage, or do you have any, and do you have any recommendation for how to alleviate those fears? And what do you do to keep mind, body, soul, and spirit in a position so that you are strong, mind and soul, and body and spirit? As a mouthful,
even though I've experienced different ways of acting, I've been on the stage, I always get those nerves for sure. The nerves always take over. I mean, that's natural. But I use those nerves as my energy once I'm on stage to just radiate out into the audience. My fear when I'm on stage, I would have to say, will the audience like my work? Will they understand what I'm trying to inform or achieve, what my message is to the audience? And I also ask myself, will the deaf people feel connected? Because the deaf community is really a diverse subculture, just as any community is. And some of them might label themselves as hard of hearing, or some label themselves as oral, meaning they don't have any sign language experience in their life. So it's really about the people that I'm performing in front of, whether I will establish a connection with them or not. And also people in the audience who are hearing, they're from a different world, so how can I cross those boundaries and to make all those kinds of connections that I want to make within the audience that's made up of so many diverse people. But when I get onto the stage, I just try to get rid of all of those doubts and thoughts and just let my performance happen. And then once the performance has been completed, then I feel that strong connection is there because they do respond as I go and perform. I see their applause and I feel the energy. I also have people coming up to me after the show with positive comments, so that gives me a sense of relief. And I guess how I alleviate those fears, and I just have to stay connected and grounded to myself and just go forward with the performance as if there's no audience there. And I just do my thing, and after the show is complete, I just have that moment of realization that, wow, there is an audience sitting right there looking at me, and it's not like I close off from that world as if they're really not there. It's more of, giving your best performance on stage. That's just what I have to do in order to alleviate my fears. And honestly, sometimes I pray too, and sometimes I take a moment to meditate, and sometimes I have my own private conversations with God to give me strength, to give me guidance, and to take the right direction forward. And when I'm on stage, everything just seems to fall into place.
And I heard you mention the word take the initiative to be aggressive. Do you find yourself oftentimes having to be aggressive, and are there moments when your silence speaks louder than your words?
Well, when I meant I have to be aggressive in order to go out there and, to talk with people and such, I say that because if I was just to decide, stand there and be a passive observer, then people would look at me and say, who is this person? They wouldn't take note of me. So I have to be more aggressive, not to, speak loud or sound loud to demand attention, but more to show people what I am all about through an interpreter, through poetry, through performances, through and motivational speaking through teaching, through all sorts of avenues. So after that, I feel like people are able to understand. I mean, it's all about how do you want people to perceive you? And if you're not motivated and you're not out there, then how would they get that glimpse?
No, I perceive that there's much more you than what I actually see, Michelle, and I hope you don't take this personal, but I have to know, because the audience will certainly want to know, were you always deaf, or is this something you had to learn to live with at a later date in your life?
Well, I became deaf at 1 year old, and I was sick. I had meningitis. And that's the source of my deafness. When my parents found out that I was deaf, then, of course, being heartbroken was their first reaction. But my dad, he did do something about it, and apparently he took me to the right schools, and it was a deaf residential school near Gallaudet. At that time, it was called Gallaudet College, and the school was called Kendall School, and that really helped me to develop into who I am today. My parents learned sign language and learned how to communicate with me at home. So I have wonderful parents. I'm so fortunate. They've supported me 100% of the way. And, yeah.
You know, the reason why I decided to actually pursue and solicit you for this show, primarily because I've lived with deafness in my family. I had a family member that I didn't know was deaf, and they had lost 40% of their hearing. And eventually they lost a great deal more as the years went on. And finally, after observing the family member that was deaf, we were fortunate enough to be able to catch it in time where they were able to do surgery to correct the hearing loss. And now he hears, but the tubes had to be placed in his ear, and I don't know what percentage he might have lost through scar tissue. There's a lot of research that goes on, and I'm watching it very closely because I know the scar tissue can grow back and he could become deaf again. So, and some of that research is talking about essential oils, which we're going to be doing the show on, and there have been several people who have actually used some of these oils, and they have been very beneficial in allowing them to have a better hearing than what they had before, and they've actually had some people who have gained their hearing completely back. How do you feel about if technology advances itself and it was a chance for you to gain your complete healing back, your complete hearing back, how would you feel about that gift being bestowed upon you?
That's a good question. I've been confronted with that question before, pretty often, actually, I'd say. And I'm honestly not sure because really my whole life from one till now, I've been deaf, and that's what I'm used to. If I found that there was an amazing new technology that could give me my hearing back, how would I feel about that? Would I go forth with it and try, or am I just satisfied with who I am if I feel fine? I guess my question would be, if I did go and get that hearing back, and then I realized later I didn't want to be hearing. I don't like this way. I don't like how sound is and all the noise and how that bothers me. And maybe I would then wish to be deaf again. That's my biggest fear. And so that's part of what I'm, when I answer that question, I have a lot of soul searching. And when I ask myself exactly what do I want, do I want to continue on as a deaf person or change and become a completely different individual? If I was to have my hearing back, that would be the case. So would I then change my life from that point on? I mean, that would really change a lot in my life. So it's a lot to consider.
Well, you know, Michelle, God does work in mysterious ways. And sometimes the infliction is probably a reminder to allow one to become humble, and some have been inflicted to a point where they have not been able to gain consciousness. But I know in this room we talk about those who actually have become inflicted, and then they don't see their disability as a hindrance. It becomes a part of their life. And I like to say to you that whichever way you choose to go or be, one good thing is that people can see your light, and they can see your light irregardless if you are a disabled person or a person that has all their full faculties. The main thing is you're out there enjoying life and you're being a part of life and you're not isolated. And that's what most people don't realize when they're disabled. They isolate themselves to a point where their gifts don't get a chance to grow. Now, what are some of your other gifts that you notice that are budding and that are also a part of your talent in speaking? Because, you know, speaking is a special gift. As an orator, you also have the gift of possibly singing and other gifts. But what are some other gifts that you've also noted that you have besides poetry? Is there a storyteller inside of you?
Yes, definitely. I recognize I do have other gifts. And like you just mentioned, the storyteller, I would definitely say I love to tell a story because within the deaf community, a lot of the stories aren't told about, well, they are told about the deaf culture and the community through that perspective. So I like to become, oh, excuse me, that was interpreter error. That was, they're not told. So I like to become their voice. And so as those stories are not told and I can become their voice, I can be that storyteller through performance. And also through production of film. I'm really interested in making film. And so I think about how to let people know about my life story and how to network and connect with different sources of media. And so I think about maybe there's other gifts. I'm also really into filmmaking. As one of my other gifts.
As you grow and get more involved, you will begin to see it. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a poem I would like to read. Maybe this will help inspire you, Michelle. It's called Ideas, and it's by The Journey Through Another Man's Mind. And this is by Aaron Ummans, and it's Ideas. From sound waves to sight language, we get our point across any distance, satellites and transmitters. Add it all up and tell me the difference. Divide that by the multiplication of lies throughout the nation, and you'll begin to find the flaws in our communication. Understand, your words are seeds, and your wishes I'm granting. By the way, what are you planting? Will my children till the cool soil of this conversation? Will their ears be burdened with the bittery of your bitch? excuse me, brother, I do apologize. It's just that those lies are a trigger switch. They wanna drive out the sound and knock my vision, hoping to deter my decision to tell the truth. Now, I don't know where this person was going with this, and it sounds like they were speaking to a community that was trying to grow and with some concepts and decided that they would throw in a woman in there to confuse the matter a bit. I don't know what you call that particular line of poetry, but people nowadays can write everything, and it has meaning to them, and it doesn't have to have meaning to anyone else. I am more of a storyteller. I like to tell stories. I travel with the great Teju Olaboni, who is a great storyteller. I've been trying to get him here on the show. Since you say you aspire to be a storyteller, maybe we will hear more from you and doing storytelling. I like to bring say thank you so much, Michelle, and bring Richard back on as our closing speech. And Michelle, I ask you that you would continue to stay inspired and to stay funky like you are and getting in their faces, because that's what you're going to have to do if you want to get someone to take notice of you. And also I believe that the quietness in our position sometimes brings people to their knees, and they're also curious about your silence, because your silence can also speak as well. So I'm going to ask Richard to come in and give us a summative about your new event and where we can find tickets and when the event is going to be held, and just give us a little bit about what types of things are going to go on before we go off the air.
Okay, I want to say thank you very much, too. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay, Michelle. Yeah, I'm here. The event's called Insight and Sound, Live Deaf Poetry. And like I said before, we have a very diverse group of artists, from poets to dancers to hip-hop musicians. One of our featured acts is a local hip-hop musician by the name of D-Ways. He's going to be performing two original songs by him, along with another young man by the name of Aaron Loggins, who also goes by the name of Deaf King. Aaron performs all his hip-hop in American Sign Language. They're going to be performing the same songs on stage at the same time, as well as modern dance performances by two deaf artists, Wade Green and Amina Deo. They're modern dancers, a very elegant, very beautiful dance. One of our, matter of fact, he's our youngest artist. He's a poet, a hip-hop musician, and a tap dancer. So he's going to be doing spoken word that evening along with a tap routine. Some of our other artists, such as E-Baby, is a very well-known spoken word artist here in the D.C. area, across the nation, actually. He's won several awards and everything. He came on to the show after being a few network productions for poetry because his grandparents were deaf, and he wanted to be part of what we were doing because he thought it was a really unique and great, beautiful idea. The same with another artist, Kavon Ward, who's a hearing artist. She recently opened for Common, the hip-hop artist, actor, and poet. We just really have a very diverse group of people working together to put this production on.
I know, Richard, because you've got the tap in there. I would imagine a whole host of other genres, such as ballet, could come in there, and then the short segments of storytelling. All of that could be on stage at the same time. And as I told you before, I love storytelling, and I guess there's a bit of an actor in all of us, but when we go on stage, we actually light up and come alive. I had a chance to perform over in Germany for 5 years and touring, so I've been on stage, you know, a great portion of my time while overseas serving the military. I think that maybe there's some opportunities in Chicago here. I'm with a university where we actually are getting some programs going, so I will be able to talk to you and Michelle about bringing those programs to our program. We work with ELL, English as a Second Language, so we also have sign language people that work with us. So part of what we do is we either learn to speak another language, a second language, or we master the second language, which is English. And then there's also the people who actually work with sign language. So that is something that we are very interested in the department of working with English as a second language or English as the bilingual language as well. So maybe there's something we can do at the university to bring your show to Chicago and open up some doors for some of the other deaf people to come out and to see what they're capable of doing in spite of their disability, that they have to persevere through the hard knocks and try to become better than what they are as a disabled person. And as a disabled person doesn't mean that they cannot perform and have talent and utilize it. So I think you're an inspiration, Michelle, as well as Richard, to the community at large to see how it is, you know, possible for someone with a disability to persevere and break all barrier lines and come into entertainment, which is hard for the normal person to do. So, Michelle, I commemorate you for being bold and being courageous and stepping